Good evening. It's a Wednesday evening prayer meeting. And we want to remind you all, to members of Grace Baptist Church, to be in prayer for one another, as well as those who are on our prayer list with other needs. Remembering the request that I shared with you Sunday morning, a close friend of ours, John Pawlowski, had a severe stroke, is in the hospital in the Atlanta, Georgia area, and the word is from family that the doctors are saying things do not look well. So continue to remember John in prayer and his wife and family as well. Not heard an update concerning Brother Wilbert Ellis. Continue to be in prayer for him and that the Lord give him a full recovery from back surgery and as well from the pneumonia that he contracted being in the hospital. Then along with that, we have Brother Eddie Bowen, my mother, Elva Bourne, Sister Ursula Draper. Continue to be in prayer for these. Continue to pray for these with cancer. Robin Brown and Becky Ray and Lynn Diener. Sorry about that glitch. I forgot to take the phone off Wi-Fi. I think we got it fixed now. As we're saying, continue to remember these in prayer. And then, which is our Eddie Bowen, Elva Bourne, Ursula Draper, Robin Brown, Becky Ray, and then Lynn Diener has recovered from cancer. We just pray that she'll stay in that state of recovery. Pray for our country, especially in this time of the pandemic and all the other things associated with it. Be in prayer for the lost, for those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Pray for our missionaries. We here at Grace Baptist Church are privileged to have aid and financial outreach to Grace Baptist Church in Romania and the brethren there, and they do a great work for the Lord. Continue to remember Brother Frank and Sister Sid James in prayer, and the Grace Baptist Church printing ministry and Brother Wilbert Ellis. Want to remember them, and Brother Bert Kraft and family in Mexico, Daryl and Brenda Titus in Mayfield, Kentucky, and Ted and Sylvia Tweet in Lynn, Arkansas. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can assemble around your word again. We just pray, Lord, that as we look to your word, that you would teach us, that you would instruct us. We pray for the Grace Baptist Church, for each member. Pray that your mercy and grace would continue to abound abundantly, that each member would be knit together in love and unity, one for the other. Lord, we pray for these ones that we've mentioned, and realizing that you know their each need, those who are fighting cancer, Lord, we pray that your will might be done in the lives of each individual according to your good pleasure. We're thankful for the missionaries that we here at Grace Baptist Church are blessed to be able to have a part in their ministry by our financial aid. We just pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would bless your word as it goes forth in each field of endeavor. We pray, Father, that souls would be saved and that churches of the Lord Jesus Christ would be established. Pray that you be with us in the remainder of our service. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We do want to read, as usually is our tradition on Wednesday evening, to read at least one newsletter. And we do have newsletter for the month of March, which is received the first part of April from the Australian mission endeavor and Brother Frank and Sister Sid James. Dear brethren, but I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob, Psalm 75, 9. Greetings once again in the precious name of Jesus Christ. God's sovereign purpose has brought unexpected changes to his work here in Port Hedland. As a response to the current COVID-19 outbreak, the government of Australia has banned all types of social gatherings, including church services, and has required that all such venues be closed. For the present time, this has resulted in the cessation of our services and the distribution of gospel bulletins. However, a series of gospel messages that I had begun this month in the local community newspaper will continue, though without an address for a meeting place. In the midst of our current circumstances, we hope to continue to bear witness to the gospel in the capacity that we are able as the Lord directs our way. Sid has had a very difficult month with her health, which has confined her mostly to bed. For this reason, the news from the home front will not be sent out this month. We greatly appreciate the prayers and concern for our health as well as for the Lord's work in Papua New Guinea and Australia. Our thoughts and prayers are with you as well. We are also thankful for the notes of encouragement and the faithful support of the Lord's churches. Love in Christ, Brother Frank James. Shall we go to prayer for the work in Australia? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Jameses. We thank you for their faithful ministry. And we do pray at this time for Sister Sid. We pray for her health. Lord, we know that you know all about it. You're in her hands. She's in your hands. We know, dear Heavenly Father, that you could, if you were so pleased, speak the word and she would be healed. But we know, dear Heavenly Father, that illnesses that come upon us, and sicknesses, all illnesses, all diseases, yea, even death, are a result of our sin nature. Sin has entered the world, and we abide under the curse of sin. Lord, we pray that you would bless Sister James, if it be according to your will, that you would heal her body, or at least put her disease in remission, that she might have more blessed days than days of illness. Pray for Brother Frank. Pray, Lord, that you would bless him. Yes, This is a trying time when churches have to close their doors, cannot assemble together, all because of the virus for safekeeping. Lord, we just pray that you would bless those that have contracted the disease. Pray, Lord, that you'd be merciful, that you'd spare lives, that you'd heal, and that you'd rid our land of this terrible disease. Bless us tonight, dear Heavenly Father, as we look to your word. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, turn with me this evening to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel and chapter 9. And last week, we had concluded our thoughts under the point Ezekiel supplicates. Ezekiel supplicates, and he supplicates on the behalf of his people, on behalf of those who the destroyers were destroying. His heart was moved with compassion. His heart was moved with mercy. And so he supplicated on their behalf. And we made note of how that we, as God's people, are called to be merciful and to show much mercy. Yea, even as we have been shown great mercy. The Lord has been so merciful in giving to us by His grace eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal life through faith in His shed blood. And because of that great grace that came to us, He is merciful. That is, we'll not have to suffer the eternal suffering, the eternal torment, the eternal punishment for our sins. And God is merciful each and every day of our life and sparing us from the results of sin. He would be just in cutting us off the moment we sin and taking us home to be with Him. But He's merciful. Yes, His compassions, His mercies are new every morning. Thank God. They're new every morning and they're with me all day long. Praise the Lord for that. And so we looked at Ezekiel and his supplication and him really realizing that God had been merciful in sparing him. And so he is pleading God's mercy for those that were not marked for salvation, but for those that were to be destroyed. We're to be merciful to lost souls and preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. But tonight we want to note, beginning in verses 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10. We have God's response to Ezekiel's prayer. God's response to Ezekiel. Verse 9 we read, "Then said he unto me, The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, The Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And as for me also, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. God's response to the prophet's request, and it's one of denial. The Lord answers Ezekiel, "Then saith he unto me." That's the Lord. The Lord says unto Ezekiel, in order that he might satisfy and put him at ease, he responds. And one might think, as we look at this response, we might think, how in the world can that put Ezekiel the prophet at his ease? But God had been warning Ezekiel, been telling Ezekiel that this is the way it was to be. But he lets Ezekiel know that they've sinned. They've sinned greatly. And that his long suffering with him had come to an end. It is also an effort to show the equity and justice of his divine prosecution. Yes, it's his divine prosecution. You might say he is the prosecutor and the judge. And he pronounces the judgment. He said in our text, he said the sin was exceeding great. Yes, it was exceeding great. We as we went through the 8th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, we seen over and over again great abomination. And I'll show you even more great abominations. And I'll show you even more great abomination. And he'd show him that, and then he'd say, "I'm show you more great abomination." Yes. Their sin was exceeding great. Nothing could be said to make it less so. Oh, that we would get that into our hearts tonight. That sin, all sin, is exceeding great. It is against God. It is against the holy and just and righteous God. And He hates sin. And he hates the workers of iniquity. That's Bible. He hates the workers of iniquity. God does delight in mercy. Amen. God delights in mercy. Turn with me quickly to the book of Micah. The book of Micah. In chapter 7. Micah chapter 7 and verse 18. Where we read, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth, that forgives, that takes away iniquity and passeth by," he passes over "the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy." But know this, even though he delights in mercy, his anger shall not be held in captivity forever. It shall not be seized forever. But it is seized, it is in captivity, because he delights in mercy. The book of Psalms, in chapter 86. And we read in this passage of Scripture, Psalms 86 and verse 15 says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering,
and plenteous in mercy and truth. Plenteous in mercy and plenteous in truth. Well, I'm glad he's full of compassion. I'm glad he's plenteous, abundant in mercy and in truth. Look at verse 5 of the same chapter. It says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Oh, I thank the Lord tonight that he is so. That he is good. And that he is plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon him. Those that call upon his name in salvation and repentance and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. He is merciful to forgive of their sins. Based on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But to us who are saved, to us who have been forgiven already in our daily walk when we sin, I'm thankful tonight that he is full of compassion, full of mercy, plenteous in mercy. When I call upon him, seeking his forgiveness for sin that I've committed, the book of Exodus in chapter 20, the book of Exodus in chapter 20, and he told the children of Israel at Mount Sinai in chapter 20 and verse 6, in the midst of the Ten Commandments, he says, "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Unto thousands of them that love him. And they demonstrate that love, how? By keeping his commandments. To get back to what we were saying just momentarily ago in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, walk not in the light, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But when we walk not in the light, when we walk in darkness, if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You see, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Thus illustrating, thus manifesting that we have been forgiven of all unrighteousness. You see, the Christian, in his daily walk, confesses his sin. And he knows that as he confesses his sin to his Heavenly Father, that he's forgiven, that he has forgiveness. But Israel, the Judaites, did not. The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great. That was God's judgment upon them. That's what God told Ezekiel. After that Ezekiel pleaded on their behalf, God said, "No, their iniquity of the house of Israel is exceeding great." Their sin had been exceeding great for a long time. It goes back in scriptures down through the Old Testament. He said, "Yea, from the day they're coming forth out of the land of Egypt, they had been a rebellious and a stiff-necked people." Some over 900 years had passed by. They had just grown further and further and further away from the Lord. He said, and furthermore, He said the land is full, is filled with innocent blood. With innocent blood. Turn with me back to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy in chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19, in verse 10, where we read, "That innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee." You see, the Lord told them even before they went into the land of into the promised land, before they crossed over Jordan, that they not be guilty of innocent blood, that the land would be full of innocent blood. But look with me at 2 Kings in chapter 21. 2 Kings chapter 21. And looking with me at verse 16. Concerning King Manasseh. Oh, a wicked king he was. Verse 16. "Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, beside his sin wherewith he made Judah to sin in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord." What's he talking about here? What's it talking about here? It's talking about idolatry. It's talking about taking their sons and their daughters and offering them up to idols. Can you imagine? Can I imagine taking your son or your daughter and offering them up to an idol? Look with me at chapter 24. In verse 4. Three chapters later. Under the reign of Jehoiakim. He said, surely at this, at verse 3 of chapter 24, "Surely at the commandments of the Lord came this upon Judah to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed. For he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon." The Lord would not pardon that innocent blood which they shed. I say to you tonight, the Lord will not pardon the shedding of innocent blood. If you look with me at the book of Psalms 106, Psalms 106, verse 38, we read, verse 37, "Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood." The land was polluted with blood. Back to in the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 7, in verse 23, he tells Ezekiel in the 7th chapter, which we had seen months ago, in verse 23, "Make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of lions." They were full of violence, and they were full of bloody crimes. They had shed innocent blood. They were offering their children unto the idols, unto gods which were not gods.
What a shame. What a shame.
Our land tonight, the United States of America, is polluted. The land is polluted with blood. It's full of blood. We're offering our sons and our daughters unto idols. You say, where? How? Under what guise? Under the guise of abortion. It's the God of self. It's the God of me. It's the God of my body.
God's not pleased. Is it any wonder why America's where she's at tonight? The United States of America. The land is defiled with the shedding of much blood. He goes on to say, the city is full of perversion. Perversion. They had perverted the right ways of the Lord. Perversions. Well, just consider what perversion leads to. Just consider what idolatry leads to. In the book of Exodus, chapter 32 and verse 25, well, turn with me there. The book of Exodus, in chapter 32, in verse 25. This is concerning the giving of the law from Mount Sinai. And remember, Moses had been gone for a long time, and the children of Israel were beside themselves. They just didn't know what to do. And so they built a molten calf. Well, if you listen to Aaron, they forced Aaron to make a molten calf. But Moses came down out of the mountain, he broke those two tables of stone. And verse 25 says, and when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. Now there are many different commentaries who don't take that literal. But I'm submitting to you tonight, it was literal. And if it is literal, what were they doing? Moses came down and out of the mountain, and they were singing and they were dancing. You can see it right now. They were singing and they were dancing unto this idol, and they were dancing nude. They were dancing naked. And you can imagine what was going on. Adultery and fornication was going on. Well, I submit to you tonight that our land is perverted. In the perversions that's taken place, idolatry, the offering of our sons and our daughters unto the God of self, and it has led to a perversion of all sorts. It has led to adultery. It has led to fornication. It has led to child molestation. It has led to homosexualism. Everything goes. They perverted the right ways of the Lord. Lord, help us. Yes. It leads to all kinds of sins. Idolatry does. It leads to the perverting of judgments. For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. That's what they said in the book of Ezekiel in chapter 8 and verse 12. Then said he unto me, son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel, the leaders, the ancients,
the elders of the land of Israel do in the dark. Every man in the chambers of his imagery, for they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. The Lord doesn't see what we're doing, and he could care less what we're doing.
By the continuing on in our sins tonight, that's what we're saying. The Lord doesn't see, and he could care less what we're doing. Oh, how shameful. Turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. In chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 and verse 10. Verse 9 says, "Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Will I not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Will you not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" Well, how do we do that? Well, I don't think that says this. I think that says this. Well, it don't say that. It says this. Well, my idea is just as good as your idea. No, it's not. It's thus saith the Lord. Lord, help us to not pervert the right ways of the Lord. Oh, it's just a little white sin. It's just a little white sin. Like we're making sin white? No, the scripture says it's black. It's walking in, those who walk in sin are walking in darkness. They're walking in unbelief. They're walking in rebellion to the Lord. Galatians. The book of Galatians. Chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 7. Which is not another. That is concerning a gospel which is not the gospel of Christ. And he says, which is not another. There's only one gospel. There's only one way to the Father. And that's through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John chapter 14, verse 6. Which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. To say it's anything but a gift from God, that man has no part to do with it, man is unable to have any part in it, apart from the working power of the Almighty God. That faith in Jesus Christ is a gift from Him. It's to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are we walking in perversion? Are we walking as the children of Israel? Are we walking in idolatry? Offering up sacrifices unto ourself, not unto God, as Israel did, as Judah did, and it brought the judgment of God. Next week we're going to see that it came to the place, came to the point that there was no longer sparing them. There was no longer being long-suffering with them. He was not going to spare them. His eye was not going to pity them. But they would be destroyed. Shall we have a word of prayer? Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, praise you for Jesus Christ, for salvation through Him. It is the gift. It's given to us. It's given to us by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is a gift. Not of ourselves. If left to ourselves, we would never have faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, not alone. We would always think that there's something else besides just Jesus. Something I must do, something I can do. But in reality, there's nothing that any of us can do. It must be a work of our Heavenly Father. Oh, we thank you tonight, dear Heavenly Father, for saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, saving our souls. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, to be obedient to your word. Help us to constantly put away self. Oh, every one of us struggles with it. We struggle with it on a daily basis. Help us, Father. Help us to immerse ourselves in your word and in conversation with you. For it's in